As an employee-owned financial firm, Baird offers advice solely focused on clients' needs, while consistently investing in their expertise and capabilities to serve those in need. More information at baird-difference.com.
As we previously promised you, we're heading over to the MCCSC Administration Building where we knock on the door, and I look, there's our friend, Dr. Jeff Hoswald. Good afternoon, buddy. How are you?
Hey, Mike. Good to talk to you.
Now, here we are on a Tuesday. It's the fourth Tuesday, but it's the first Tuesday, the first fourth Tuesday of the first month of school. You've had 20 days to absorb everything. Number one, how you doing?
Doing well, and the year's off to a good start.
Are you busier than you thought you would be, or is everything going according to Hoyle?
So we're always busy, right? We're always looking forward. But I do believe our start of the school year this year has gone more smoothly than last year. That's my comparison point, Mike, because last year was my first year. But last year we were coming back under so many unknowns with the pandemic, so many additional restrictions, so many social distancing requirements and limitations on programs. And, of course, we started transportation back up last year. And this, we had a year to get a plan together for this year. So we have had minor hiccups for the start of the school year, but it has gone much more smoothly than last year. And, you know, just being out in all the schools, and I visit all the schools and all the classrooms at the start of the year, our teachers are excited to be back, our students, and I keep hearing that it feels more normal. This year feels more normal. It feels like a return to pre-pandemic. It doesn't mean that we're completely there, but it just there's kind of an air of excitement, and just that this year's opening has just somehow felt better.
Well, good. And we always want things to be better. And your transportation, as you mentioned before, had a little hiccup early with the app. Is everything cleared up there? How I look at it is no news usually means it's good news, because if there was something wrong, someone would be shouting it from the rooftops probably.
Yeah. You know, so last year when we started transportation back up, we just had, of course, the great resignation, a lot less drivers, and way too many routes, approximately 105 regular routes. We were able, through our new schedule, to cut that down to 85 routes. And so we did start the year with a few people still in training. We started the year down about 7 drivers. Now, understand that if it had been last year, we'd have been down 27. But we have been able to staff up quickly. And then, by the way, that includes people that had to be out for medical reasons, for example. So for the last 8 days, we have been fully staffed. We're at 100%, a majority of our buses have been on time. And we categorize this a little differently. It's sort of like with airlines. You know, you have minor delays of 15 minutes and less and major delays. So, we have had a few buses have to circle back, something unexpected, maybe a safety concern, a medical concern. So we've had a few buses that have been, 15 minutes or less late. But over the last week, we've normalized our operations. We are we're fully staffed. We are still hiring more bus drivers, of course. And at the beginning of the year, of course, when we tried to update our app for the new app for the transportation system with our parent and student data system, it created a conflict. It erased information, so the app wasn't working. And now we have the app back functioning. So I don't know if you've tried using it, but with a student ID number, parents are able to, of course, download the app and monitor the bus and get updates as the for the anticipated arrival time, both in the morning and in the afternoon. So to your question, transportation has significantly improved this year, and even improved today over the start of school, and our app is working.
Well, other than that, good. Good, good, good. Now, how many times do you have to get your checkbook out and write the new bonus? Did you think that was part of the reason why your buses are all filled up?
So, when I say our buses are filled up, we also have some people doing double duty. So we may have a maintenance worker with a CDL that we're kind of pulling. So even fully staffed, we need more CDL drivers. So we talked to the board. We've approved this incentive program. And we've already had 7 to 9 referrals just in a matter of a few days. They're quickly going through the intake process. So it's going to help give us some cushion so that if a bus driver needs to take a day off, for example, we have some staff members that can alleviate that and kind of substitute on a daily basis. Right now, we really have no subs. So if a bus driver unexpectedly has to cancel an hour before the start of school, that bus then has to be delayed. So we still need more bus drivers, and we do believe that the referral bonus, the sign-up bonus, is being effective. So we've had already 7 to 9 come through that process, and of course, we've asked the board to approve up to 25 of those referrals. So if anyone's out there listening and they're willing to help us out, even if they don't need the job and if they have a little bit of time in the morning and the afternoon, just reach out to us. It's on our website. We need bus drivers. We can train you. And we have a $1,000 sign-up bonus. So do I have to pay you for that commercial or not?
No, no, you're good. We'll let that one slide in.
Right. Doctor, I won't do it again.
No, you're fine. We want people to know. We want people to get to school on time, and we want parents to be able to get to where they need to be on time and not have to worry about that. So it's a symbiotic relationship. Absolutely.
I like that. It's a big word, but I like it.
That is, it's a big word, too.
We don't want it to be the opposite. Would be parasitic, right?
That's not good. No.
That's not good. But now, Mike, you were asking me from 5 to 8 a.m., were you interested in driving a bus?
No, but
that's something we should talk about later.
But I think that's an interesting point that you bring that up, because the day is so chopped up, it's hard for people to work other jobs, or because it's not a full-time job. I've talked to a couple of people that's not the complaint, but the issue. They say, well, it's not a full-time job. And I know the other side of the story, benefits here. You got this, you got that. But I can see this from both sides. So I don't know if that's fixable down the road. I don't know what the flexibility is, but that's kind of the pushback I've heard. It's like, well, I have to do this and this, but there's nothing in between, or I have to wait till late at night. So
it's definitely a chopped up day. We have guaranteed minimum hours now that we've actually increased the number of hours for our drivers.
Great.
So it's not an 8-hour day, but we did increase that, which has significantly helped. Of course, we've increased our rate of our hourly rate. We've increased a guaranteed minimum number of hours now. And, of course, we provide health insurance.
That's a big deal.
Pension and all those things. So we've definitely have an attractive package. And if somebody wants to just drive in the morning or, in the afternoon, let us know. We're open for that as well.
Excellent. Dr. Jeff Hauswald is our guest. And staying on transportation, well, you're the Indiana Clean School Bus Fleet 2022 Award winner. Look at you.
Yeah, well, it's not me. It's really the school district and the director of transportation who has really been involved in this process. So I had an opportunity to receive the award, mostly because the transportation director was a little busy on the – I told them they should not be giving us this award.
What are they
doing? They did it on the third day of school or the second day of school. So that seems a bit unfair. I did learn that this was held up in northern Indiana, and that a lot of those schools actually start the next week. So I guess in their mind that it was a good time to do it. But, yeah, we're excited about that. We know that there are fiscal savings with our electrification. We are using over $5,000 on each bus each year on diesel, and that's a conservative estimate. And so there are incentives and grants for us to get electric buses, and so we know we save money on them. But we also know that, of course, it reduces our carbon footprint. It means our air more breathable. So it's sort of a win-win, right? It's better for the environment, and fiscally it saves us some money. So we are working on expanding the electrification of our bus fleet. So
the electrification. Oh, my gosh. I got to take a commercial break now. That was a four-syllable. You trumped me. That's painful. That hurts.
Yeah,
electrification. That's not a word, is it? That sounds like something I would say.
Electrifying? That's even more. I don't know how to.
Well,
how about just saying plugging in our buses?
Electrification.
More buses that we need to plug in.
Oh, no. We're going with electrification. That is.
Is that better than electrocution, Mike?
Got everybody's. Well, I'm not sure. I stay away from the latter.
yeah, it's probably smart.
Well, here on the radio, we can't spill or do anything like that. We don't want to get into any verbs in that sense. Well, congratulations on your award, and I know the budget season, I was joking with Dr. Sanders yesterday from RBB. He said to say hello. It never ends. It never rests. You never just say, oh, good, I'm glad that's done. It's not the case. But when you think of the benefits of the electric, is that something that you slowly push into future budgets? How does that work? Is that important, or are you at a level right now where you're satisfied with your fleet?
Well, we are. Every time we have savings, we try to reinvest that in our transportation department. As we get more savings, of course, just similarly, when we reduced the number of buses because we didn't have enough drivers, we took those savings and applied it to our hourly wages of our bus drivers, right? We increased our wages. We put it that way. So each time we have savings, we do like to not, of course, use that money for, I don't know, something that maybe is less related, but we do try to put that money and reinvest in our transportation department. And that includes the people that are out there every day. The first people to see our students and the last person to see them before they drop them off at home. So they play an important role, and we definitely want to compensate them as well as possible. So,
all right, that makes sense. So the budget, where are we in the process? Where do we have to, is that the end of September? Where do we go from here?
Well, tonight we'll be going over some updates on our budget. Of course, formal approval is just a couple months away. There's a statutory timeline, but we have our budget set. Our budget this year is going to be $157 million. So that includes all of our funds. That's our education fund, our referendum fund, debt service, school pension debt, which is a very small amount, and our operations fund. We expect there to be a slight increase in that, and there's a few reasons for that. Number one, we're projecting a slight increase in our referendum fund. We've asked we will be asking our voters to approve another referendum with a slight increase, and the reason for that, of course, is we're trying to pay our teachers a fair wage, a fair salary, and then to increase our hourly wages of our cooks and our food service workers, our bus drivers, our paraprofessionals. We've kind of talked about the referendum. So we are projecting a slight increase on that. Interestingly, like our operations fund, we are actually expecting to see a reduction in our overall rate of about 4 cents to 5 cents. So we'll kind of share that you're going to see some savings in other areas. So right now, we're the eighth lowest tax district in Indiana, and we would expect, we haven't seen the other districts' new rates for next year. We expect to be about that same area next year. While we have a slight increase in our referendum rate, we are decreasing our operation fund budget. We're going to see a decrease in our school pension debt budget and some other things that will cause us to have a reduction in those funds. So it's going to be offsetting, and if we see a change in our rates, we think it'll be just a couple pennies. So,
well, that's the good news. And when we talk about the referendum, and I know you always want to bring that up because that will be on the ballot in November, it doesn't have the best wording in it. People hear $157 million budget and their eyebrows go up. There is context to all this. Let's make sure that our electorate knows what that is.
Well, yeah, so we are asking an operating budget to pay for our teacher salaries. And if you look at our overall funds, our education fund, it's hardly been changed over the last 10 to 15 years. The state has to fund that. It really has been locked in. Over the last few years, we've seen minimal increases. And so our teacher salaries and our hourly wages really have not kept up with inflation. We've seen a difference of anywhere from 8 to 10%. So, again, we're going back through the referendum asking our voters to approve the referendum so that we can make our starting minimum hourly wage $15 an hour. Right now it's $13 an hour for a lot of positions. And then to increase our teacher salaries by $4,500. So you're right. Our education fund, what we pay our teachers, is approximately $76 million. So those other numbers include the projected new referendum, by the way. So if we reduce that, it would be a lot less. But the rest of those funds, our operations fund, that's what we use to basically maintain our buildings, right? you know, whether it's our electric bill or it's also our buses and our bus drivers, and a lot of our support staff. And then we have a little bit of debt, a pretty small amount of debt for a district our size. We make payments on every year. And the debt is from our buildings, not maintaining the buildings. But, for example, we just built the new Tri-North Middle School.
Right.
Great investment for our students. So really, when you hear those large numbers, those large numbers include a lot of different funds. That includes some money, a small amount of money towards old pensions, but also towards our construction projects, our debt that comes from building buildings, for operating our buildings and our bus drivers and a lot of those types of things. So it's a significantly smaller amount that we get from the state, and that amount is not enough to increase wages to where we believe we need to have them. And we know this. We've seen shortages in bus drivers and food service workers, paraprofessionals. So we know we need to increase our wages. So we're confident that the referendum is for the right reason. And, you know, we remind you, people think, that amount seems like enough already. But we remind people that when you look at all the public school districts in Indiana, we are the eighth lowest. So we have a very, very low tax rate for MCCSC compared to districts around the state.
And that will be front and center on the ballot. We'll hear more about it as we get closer and closer and closer to the first Tuesday after the first Monday in November. And that will be a day not in school, as we'll always remind folks, whether it's the May primary or election day in November. Too many moving pieces and too many buildings. It's just easier to keep that separated. What else? We've gone through a lot of it. Any other major things on your agenda tonight? What time do we get started?
6 o'clock. So, as always, it's over at the CoLab on Miller Drive. And you kind of hit the big things, right?
Yeah.
We're doing a review of our 2023 budgets. We're going to ask the board to approve our bus driver incentive program formally. Of course, they're fully supportive of that. We're going to talk a little bit about our strategic plan moving forward, and we're going to start updating the public on each of our priorities. And we have four areas of priority within our overall goal of equity, two within diversity, two within funding, and one within communication. So each month, we're going to do a deep dive. And interestingly, for the month of September, we're going to do a deep dive on access. That includes transportation and how we operate, how we get our students to school, what kind of opportunities we offer our students. And so there's a process by which, if anyone has questions about that, they can go onto our website, they can submit questions, and we'll be presenting some answers to those and having some discussion in the month of September about our board's goal on equity related access, including transportation. So each month we'll be having an in-depth conversation about one of our goals and priorities. And this month we're going to kind of go over the process for that. So we're excited to kick that process off, and just a lot of great things. Of course, our ECAs, our sports, everyone's back in place. You know, I know football, you just talked about that in the coverage. We appreciate the coverage you guys do for high school sports. People love their local teams. And while you guys are great partners with IU, we really do appreciate the conversations and the updates and just the basic information. We have a lot of students that are very involved in sports. As you know, last weekend, our South started at New Albany. Our North took on Mooresville at home. This week, we have a lot of things going on. And tonight, I got to give a nod to our Bloomington North girls golf team and hosting Edgewood, and our North boys tennis team is hosting Edgewood. Our North volleyball team is hosting Terre Haute South, and South volleyball is hosting Terre Haute North. And, you know, I want to give a nod to those student athletes, those teams. So, you know, look on our website. You can link to both of our high school athletic departments. And, you know, if you get a chance, come support our teams.
Big road match tonight. Seventh grade Bachelor Bulldogs middle school volleyball traveling up to Martinsville, trying to preserve the 1-0 record after knocking off city rivals Tri-North last Thursday, the black and gold.
I love it.
Traveling up I-69 and see if they can we'll have a full report tomorrow, so if you need to tune
in. I have a feeling you're not going to be at the volleyball game tonight.
I am not, because I cannot be in two places at once, and as good as the Interstate 69 is up to Martinsville, the teleportation would be a lot easier. But since we can't do that. You're busy at 6 o'clock as well. Where are things taking place tonight, and how can people participate?
Well, first of all, I just want to add that on behalf of all your listeners, I think one mic is enough. You know, one mic, Gas Glasscock. I mean, you know, we know you can only be in one place, and thank goodness for that.
That's not a bad point.
6 o'clock. Yeah,
I'd be overworked.
Is that right?
That's
6
right.
O'clock at the CoLab is when it kicks off, and it's open to the public. We always encourage active participation. We also live stream it through our website on a YouTube channel. So, of course, if you'd like to watch along at home, you're welcome to do so, but you're welcome to attend in person if that better fits your schedule or your learning style. We're okay either way.
And you can go back and watch it later. You don't have to watch it live. You don't have hits. You don't have to report how many viewers you have, right? You have to turn it into Nielsen and see who's watching.
Not to my knowledge.
Neither do we. So
we sometimes refer back, and sometimes people ask questions, and we're like, oh, here's some information about this, something we presented a few months ago. So we use that resource as well as other people. So
the CoLab, 553 East Miller Drive, right here in lovely Bloomington. Next time we'll speak, Labor Day will be gone and behind us. That's your first kind of first marker of the season. Obviously, on the 5th, no one will be in school. Then we'll have a little fall break coming up in October. So nice and broken up schedule. I hope
That's
you have
right.
a chance to enjoy
That's
it.
Right.
Relax, my man.
Yeah, September 5th, Monday, we're off. 2 days fall break. And then, of course, you mentioned Election Day. And that's something that we don't always close because of polling and other things, but we want to give some flexibility. I know our teachers sometimes work early and work late, and we want to give all of our employees an opportunity to get out there and vote. We'll talk about that more at the next meeting. But, yeah, looking ahead, our schedule looks pretty good.
Hey, I appreciate you fitting me into your schedule, buddy. Thank you. We'll do it next week or next month, next something. We'll talk soon. That's exactly what we'll do.
I can't wait. Thanks for all you do.
See you, Jeff. Have a good one. Dr. Jeff Hoswald, he is the superintendent of the MCCSE schools. Good laugh, good information.